Well, it's lovely to see you here at Christmas. Let me welcome you as well. My name is Paul, and I'm one of the leaders along with Ben. Now, as we come to think about Christmas, I wonder how you feel about Christmas music. Now, when you go to shops to buy things, and after all, we don't do that quite as often as we might have done once with things coming through the post, you get the Christmas music going through your mind. And I wonder if the key skill in writing a Christmas hit is having music that is so annoying that you just can't get rid of it. Now, I would tell you which song is particularly echoing in my ears when I say that, but I don't want to distract you because I fear for the rest of the evening you would also have that echo coming in your ears. But for Christians, the music we sing at Christmas is not just about snatches of melody and tunes which we might like and enjoy, or we might equally find annoying. The words really matter. And there's certain words that come again and again in different carols. Hark the herald angels sing, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Silent night, we've just sung it. Round yon virgin mother and child. God rest ye merry, to you is born a saviour of pure virgin bright. O come all ye faithful, as we'll close with, lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb. There's a bit of a truism in terms of the Christmas story that the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. But why? Why does that matter? I wonder if you ever asked that question. Why does it matter that the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin? And if he wasn't, then the entire Christian message is redundant. Well, I'd like to suggest this evening three significant things that Jesus being born of a virgin tells us about God. We try and be straightforward this evening, so I've got three words beginning with four letters. And the first one is this: God is real. God is real. Now, I wonder tonight, as you come along, you might have come along, you enjoy singing, you enjoy the Christmas spirit. But if I really pressed you and said, do you think that God is real? What you would say, deep down at the bottom of your heart, is God real? You see, people coming along at the Christmas story could be broadly defined into two groups. You could have those who would be generally in the atheist camp, which would see atheist camp, who would see God as a creation of man. They'd say it's just something that we've made up. And so this is a made up story that we've made up for certain reasons. And theists, who would see man as a creation of God. Now, those two views are quite entrenched. People don't tend to always want to debate those things. They just kind of react. And things are reinforcing their belief. So if you're coming from a perspective tonight and you say, well, no, I might not put myself in the hard atheist camp, but if you just give me a two options, I'm just going to say, well, this is obviously not true because virgins don't give birth. Well, that's the point of the Christmas story. If you're going to say this is not true because virgins don't give birth, then I put it to you that your mind's is definitely closed off. Why do I say that? Well, because the whole point of the virgin birth is that it is God from outside our reality coming into our reality. And if God's going to come into our reality, it's got to be in some way that is beyond the normal. And the Christian faith says that this has occurred once in the entirety of human history, and only once. And that is what we're saying. You're saying, are you saying virgins give birth in 2022? No. Nor in 2021, nor in 2023, nor in any other time in human history, apart from this one time. Now, one of the readings that we looked at Mary. Now, Mary, some people say, well, she's just one of these ignorant, confused people. Have you ever noticed that we tend to have quite a superior look on things? Have you noticed that anything you read in the news, looking at past generations, most people say, well, back then, they were a bit a bit confused. And if you're feeling a bit more older in years today, you might be getting cautious about that, because you might be saying, hang on a second, some of the people they're writing off, that's my generation. What's going on? The arrogance of youth. And that is what's going on, the arrogance of youth. You see, Mary wasn't stupid. She says, verse 34 of the first reading, how will this be to the angel who's told that she's going to give birth to this son? How will this be, she says, since I am a virgin? So she knew this was out of kilter. This wasn't normal. This was beyond normal belief. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, and so on. And if you look down to verse 37, it says, for nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. So put it this way. Imagine you're reading this story. Now, here's one of my favourite stories. Those of you who come along here regularly know that I like the Narnian stories. And imagine you've got the Narnian story and you're reading along, and there goes Lucy. She goes through the wardrobe and she speaks to a fawn called Tumnus. And you say, no. Fawns don't talk. I've got to put this book down. This book's ridiculous. Fawns don't talk. And then you've got talking lions. This is ridiculous. Lions don't talk. Fawns don't talk. This book's ridiculous. Now, we wouldn't do that, do we? Because we say, well, Lewis is writing a story, and we've got to understand the whole of the story. We can't just kind of take the story, strip out the talking animals, characters. We wouldn't have anything left. And similarly, if we're going to take the Bible seriously, we can't just kind of strip out one or two things and decide what we think's in there or not. We've got to take it whole scale, or reject it whole scale. And I've met virtually no one who's willing to reject it whole scale or read Jesus' teachings and say, do to others as you have them do to you. Well, that's good, sound teaching. And they usually end up by saying, well, Jesus is kind of a good teacher. Well, that doesn't wash if you're going to write off huge parts of the Bible, because God is saying, here is the whole scale message, and the whole point of the Bible's message is God is real and he is speaking. In fact, when Mary was to give birth, this was fulfilling a specific prophecy. If you were to look at the third reading, it says, behold, the virgin shall conceive. And before that, it says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. The prophet Isaiah said, the Lord himself will give you a sign. So if you're saying, how do I know that God is real today? The Bible says, because once, only on one occasion, and one occasion alone, a virgin gave birth. And let me ask you that question. What would stop God, who made this world, overriding the laws of nature to show that he is real? If you say, well, virgins don't give birth, what are you saying? I'm assuming God's not real, and therefore he can't do that. But that's not logical. You've got to say, well, what are we making of this? Are we allowing that God, if he's real, can override the laws of nature? Is your mind open or closed on that point? Well, we said our first thing, four letters, God is real. Second thing, in terms of four letters, God is near. God is near. Because that's the second thing that we learn about the virgin birth. Now, if you were to see in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. The idea of the virgin conceiving and bearing a son is that this is bringing God near. Now again, we've got to remember what's going on here. We're not saying, as we said already, that Mary's somehow naive. That's not why she's claiming virgin birth. Nor are we saying that Mary's special because she's somehow specially, magically pure. She's completely holy and therefore Jesus comes from her because she's especially holy. The Bible doesn't claim that. She called Jesus her Saviour. But what we're saying here is it was necessary for Jesus to come in this way. Now, these passages say that Jesus being born is the start of his existence. It's his entrance. Now, I wonder what your earliest memory is. Think back, you can scratch your heads, and most people, something at the age of 3, 4, or 5 comes into mind. My personal one would be sometime at nursery school. And a particular memory is shortly after one of my grandparents had died. We've got our early memory. We think, well, that's when I'm starting my conscious existence. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, is true God. And what we think about Christmas is God entering the world. And this is why it has to be virgin birth. Because a normal birth, you have a new person. Now, I don't know if you've got children today, but I've got 4 children. And I know that each one of them has got their own distinctive personality that comes out. When you've got children, for good or for bad, they have their own personal character. And they want to be seen distinctly. You might have heard that phrase, and me. I'm different, I'm separate, I've got my own character. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, is God entering the world. So when you have a man and a woman have a child, that's a new person. But for Jesus, it's not a new person. He is getting a new nature, a human nature. That's what's going on, the entry of the Son of God into this world. And it's that he might become near. He might become near, that we might get to see him up close and get to know him. God is so big. How could we know God? Well, the Bible says Jesus is God with us. The Bible says, what does it look like to see God? It means to see Jesus. In fact, Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So when we look at the pages of the Bible, if you've never read any of the Bibles, as Gospels of John's to pick up on the way out, we read what God is like. We see him teaching. We see him caring. We see him loving. We see him warning. We see him directing. That's God. And the virgin birth tells us God is near. This is no human baby. This is not a new person. This is the eternal Son of God taking a new nature. So then, the virgin birth, really important, says God is real. The Lord gives us a sign. It says that he is near, not a new person, but a new nature. God comes near to us. But thirdly, our third follow-up word, it reminds us that God is holy. If you look at that first reading 1 from Luke 1, when Mary asks, where it says verse 34, the small 34, Mary said to the angel, how will this be? How will I have a baby since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. That's who he is. He is holy. Now, that was really significant, because we are a very rebellious race. We're a very rebellious race and have been that for a long time. Now, you know, it's quite fashionable today to ask for reparations. So the latest one I saw was that the Polish government were asking the German government for reparations for World War II. I think it was running into the billions and the billions and the billions. Well, there's one major problem for us as members of the human race. I think all of us are members of the human race this evening. The human race has done a lot of things. And the person to whom we owe reparations is God. For what we've done to this world that he's made for us, and we have caused upset wherever we've gone. You can look at any ethnicity, you can look at any age, and you'll find selfish human beings causing problems in the world. So if we want to go for reparations, the human race is in big trouble. Big, big trouble. And that's why we need to have the virgin birth. Because it's no good having someone within that human race coming along, because they'll be responsible for those same problems. God steps in. He overshadows the Virgin Mary. So he takes from her substance. He makes sure that the Son of God comes into this world with a perfect human nature. And he enters. He enters. True man and true God. I don't know if you like family trees and seeing how far you could trace back. I love history, but I've got a slight problem with my family tree. And those of you who know me well will know my surname is Smith. Now, you run into problems trying to trace Smith. It's quite frustrating. One of my relatives has tried it, and the most interesting thing I found was that my relatives go back to a village, Wilstead, where my wife comes from. But she came as an incomer, and my relatives were there true born. So there I can say I'm more from Wilstead than she is. That's interesting to me, but for you, most of you are probably thinking, Wilstead, some small village in Bedfordshire. Family trees can be interesting. If you're from the royal family, you're doing much better, aren't you? You can plot the line of succession. You can go back, you can see where there's problems. We've had to import some German monarchs, but we can still trace a line back. And back we go, all the way to the Normans and so on. Well, Mary could do that. She could trace the line back. And back it went. And back it went. And it went back to the line of the kings. She was from the line of David. It goes back further. It would go back to that great ancestor of the Jewish nation, Abraham. It would go back further, all the way, and we could eventually take our ancestry there to Noah and then to Adam. There was the line. And there'd been a series of promises God had made. And he said, someone's going to come. When this world was messed up by human rebellion, someone's going to come. The seed of a woman to save, to destroy the work of, as we sing, Satan. When we'd gone astray, that's how God rest you, merry gentlemen, that nothing you dismay, to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. That was what was promised. Someone coming from Abraham was promised. Someone coming from David was promised. And all the way down that line, up to Mary. But the problem was, every single one who'd come had started to cause problems. Just like the rest of the race. And isn't that the case? I used to be a school teacher, and I used to have these training days. Now, those of you who are parents might think training days are a bit of a jolly for teachers while they have to look after the children. But I used to find training days almost like purgatory, because you'd have to sit and listen to overpaid speakers who would come and tell you that all children were innately good, and that if you just had the right environment, then they'd all be perfectly behaved. And you had a bunch of teachers sitting in the room thinking, that is just not the case. That's just not the case. Children are not innately good. And if we have created the right environments, they will not all behave themselves. We are part of a rebellious race. From our hearts, we are selfish. Why is the virgin birth necessary? Because the Son of God needed to enter. True man, yes. Ancestor through Adam, Abraham, David through Mary. But the line was broken. This one was going to be perfect. A perfect Savior. True God and true man. He was holy. And he's the one who's able to represent us. He's the one who's able to achieve for us. Now, if you're a fan of football, I could say look away now. But if you're able to, you can think about Harry Kane. Steps up to the penalty spot. If he'd have scored, lots of people would have jumped up, and what would they have said? We've scored, wouldn't they? We've scored. And similarly, he might have groaned and said, we've missed. I could tell the excitement of that match from our neighbour next door. You could hear certain things going through the wall. It was a running commentary in that sense. But the entirety of human history was more like, we've missed. We've missed. We've messed up. We've messed up. Until one man came along to represent us. One man, unlike you and me, who never had a selfish thought in his mind, who never had an unkind thought from his mouth, and never had a wrong action coming from his body. He was absolutely perfect through and through. And what did we do to that one man who was representing us? Kill him. Why did people kill him? The Bible tells us that this was out of jealousy. People don't like others who do things right. He showed up everyone else. He came as a holy one, true God, true man, to represent us. And because of the virgin birth, he could act as a true man to represent us. And as true God, he had the power to save us. So what did he do? Well, the Bible would see three things. If you say, what's the Christianity about? Think of it like a stool with three legs, with three pillars. One is the virgin birth. He's true God, true man. The other one is his death on the cross. That on the cross, he took the punishment for the sins of all who trust in him as the only one who was perfect and able to die in their place. And the third pillar, the third leg of the stool, is resurrection. That he rose from the dead on the third day to prove that God has accepted his sacrifice for sin. So here's the Holy One. What a gift to this world. The only one able to forgive your sins and mine. Well then, we've seen this evening three things that the virgin birth reminds us. God is real. He gives us a sign. If you're closed off to that, let me ask you, why are you being open-minded on that? Second one, God is near. He is God with us. And thirdly, he is holy. As the only one, true God and true man, he lived a life we couldn't live, and he paid a punishment in our place. Now, I don't know what your wall's like at home at the moment. My wife is more charitable than me, so she likes to put lots of decorations and things up on the wall. So we've got our line that has birthday cards, and now as birthday cards are down, it's Christmas cards up there. And maybe your house has got lots of Christmas cards up there. When I say about my wife, our house would look very boring if it wasn't for her. She makes it look interesting. Well, there was one man called Stuart Holden, and on his wall, I don't know about Christmas cards, but he certainly had something interesting that I've not heard being on a wall before. He had a ticket. A boat ticket. A ticket from a very famous boat that sailed in 1912. The Titanic. So Stuart Holden was due to go with his wife across on the Titanic. His wife was seriously ill, and he never sailed. Got the ticket, and he wrote with his own hand Psalm 103, verse 4. About the one who redeems your life from destruction. And he put it on the wall. And he basically said, God's worked in my life to make my wife ill, so we didn't sail, otherwise we'd be at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean with so many others. Lots of people had been holding on to that ticket, and they'd been really pleased about it. That ticket got them, didn't it? The height of luxury at the time, wasn't it? It was like the best ship, the fastest ship, the most luxurious ship. And they thought They'd really got it made. They were holding that ticket. And Holden was rejoicing that God had saved him from holding that ticket. Let me ask you today, could it be that you're going through life holding on to the wrong ticket? You're going along with what everyone else is saying. Well, there's so many things we can enjoy in this world. We'll enjoy this, we'll enjoy that. And there are indeed many legitimate pleasures in this world. But if we're holding on to those and thinking we're safe, we could be in, and we will be in, for a massive shock when we meet God face to face. Because like Stuart Holden, we need to be redeemed from God calling in the reparations fairly for our part in causing problems in this world, with our selfishness, with our greed, from our failure to obey his law. And the virgin birth tells us there's a way out. He says, I'm real. I've sent the Lord Jesus Christ, true man, true God, to save you. If you will turn from going your way, we'll leave that ticket of I want to go my way and my pleasures and come to him, come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived the life that you can't live, died the death in the place of people like you and me, and offers you a safe ticket across that river of death to heaven, because your entrance is based, if you trust in him, not on your performance, which leaves you in trouble, but rather on the Lord Jesus Christ's perfect performance as the Holy One of God, and gets you to heaven. Well then, what ticket are you holding today? What a greater thing could you put up on your wall than to know that he has redeemed your life from destruction by turning and trusting in the only one who has the power to save you, the Lord Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. When the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under law, to redeem those, to redeem the human race. May each one of us know what it is to know safety and security before God this Christmas time.